Macmillan Audio presents The Murder of Willie Lincoln by Bert Solomon. Read for you by Holter Graham. Chapter 1. February 5th through 20th, 1862. John Hay strolled to the double doors of the East Room. From his embroidered waistcoat, he drew his grandfather's gold pocket watch with the delicate links in the chain. It was 2 minutes before 10 o'clock. Hay was late, although not as late as he would have liked. President Lincoln's assistant private secretary, just 23 years old, cottoned to nightlife of almost any description. But receptions in the executive mansion were simply work in a different dress, and for the gentleman, not so different. Socializing in Washington City, Hay had learned, was not about pleasure. Just outside the opened doors, the Marine Band played its absurd adaptations of operatic airs, its director having conferred with Madam President about the evening's selections. The butlers hovered in their mulberry uniforms, made to match Mrs. Lincoln's new set of china. Hay glanced at himself in the gilded French looking glass and, as usual, liked what he saw. He could understand how his countenance might be mistaken for Edgar Allan Poe's. More than one feminine admirer had told him so, before the poet's descent into sweet wine and laudanum. Only lighter in complexion and a dollop more debonair. His mischievous hazel eyes, the sparse yet raffish mustache, the nut-brown hair palmated and parted fashionably to the side, the smile that Hay could turn devilish on command, the aesthete in him approved. His dainty chin and scrawny build were hardly his own doings, and therefore no cause for shame. The same for his peach-blossom face, as innocent as an altar boy's, which served to conceal the machinations within. The grandest room in the executive mansion, the East Room, was considered one of the finest, Hay shuddered to think, in Christendom. The high frescoed ceiling and the three glittering chandeliers told of a designer trying too hard, as did the new carpet of Belgian velvet, ocean green and embellished with roses woven into a single piece, as lush and meticulous as a medieval tapestry, and nearly as expensive. Hay had handled the $2,575 invoice from Carroll and Brother, the Philadelphia merchants, who were also responsible for the gaudy new bed in the Prince of Wales room. The East Room was less crowded than Hay had expected. He noted with satisfaction that the desperation for invitations among the city's social aristocracy had evidently been unaccompanied by any actual desire to attend. Either that, or the Republicans who had conquered this southern standoffish city had learned, at last, the politesse of a late arrival. At the center of the room, the president and his wife stood back to back. They reminded Hay of a telegraph pole by a carousel, an asymmetry of shape that belonged on stage at Christie's Minstrels, after the Ethiopian songs and before the burlesque. "The long and short of it," Lincoln liked to say. Well-wishers stood in a line, concealing all but the apex of Mrs. Lincoln's black-and-white flowered headdress, the crepe myrtle drooping down. The president's head and shoulders bobbed above the circle of guests, his swallowtail coat hanging on his angular frame, a white kid glove protecting his hand as he bowed in mechanical greeting.
"Good evening, Lord Lyons. Senator Sumner, a pleasure. General Doubleday, how do you do?"
Hay strode in the Lincoln's direction, meaning to relieve whoever was announcing the guests. A tedious duty, but a duty nonetheless. He passed by Mrs. Lincoln, almost as near as the radius of her hoop skirt. Her face was plump, and her eyes were unnaturally
Sample complete. Ready to continue?